Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, in honor of the release of the new Star Wars trailer, I have a sequel of my own. Now, I think you remember this story from last season, which I talked about my boss asking me how my team was. You remember this one, right?
Yes, I do. Yep, yep.
And I went on a five-minute rant on my fantasy team, and he actually, he was like, well, I'm actually interested in how your team in the office is doing, how your direct reports are.
Yep.
So, true story, last week, I'm in a meeting with the same boss, and he asks me specifically, so, Brandon, how's your soccer team doing? And I say, oh, funny you should ask, because, you know, on my podcast, he knows I have a podcast. So on my podcast, that was one of the best stories I ever told about how I mistakenly told you about my fantasy team instead of my staff. And it's a very popular story in the podcast. And he looks at me and he's like, huh, that's interesting that you're, you know, you're telling stories about me on your podcast. I was actually talking about the six-a-side soccer team that you're now playing every Wednesday night at Brooklyn Bridge Park.
Wow.
So yet again, I screwed up. And when my boss just wanted to make pleasant conversation, I, of course, like a true nerd, bring fantasy sports into it.
I like to think that your boss is like the guy from Peep Show, you know, who just like terrorizes Mark, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. He's more friendly than that. He's more approachable than that. But yeah, there are some parallels for sure.
So we are into game week 34. You know, we have one more fixture to go, but you know, it's probably better for everyone's health if we don't record after that fixture. Better for me to sit here and think that my Duffy captaincy will still work out. He will get, you know, I don't know, a hat trick tomorrow, and maybe there's a late Matt Ryan red card, and he has to go in and save a penalty at the end, you know, and get a what I call a true 24-pointer.
This is like the Man in the High Castle, where we're recording in a future reality that probably won't actually happen.
Right. So, yeah, at this point, I would take. I mean, if you were asking me what I would like honestly take from him, I guess I would take 2 points. I would take 2 points doubled. I would take 4 points from him and go on my way with the rest of the season.
Yeah, well, you'd match my Vardy captaincy at that point. So, I mean, I was feeling, just like you had cautioned everyone last week, the Vardy captaincy, very appealing. Leicester appeared to be in form, as did Vardy. But you don't want to put the armband on a guy who plays Friday night, because that's going to ruin your entire weekend. Guess what? My entire weekend in which I was traveling, celebrating a family birthday, awful, awful weekend.
I mean, you had to feel good when Son didn't start in the Huddersfield match. That match was, I watched that entire match. The whole time I was thinking to myself, so we'll talk more about our teams in a second here, but I ultimately went with just two Spurs. I went with Hugo Lloris, which worked out, and I went with Son. But I didn't captain Son. And watching that match, I mean, Eriksen could have had, what, like 2 goals and 2 assists conservatively in that match?
Yep, deflected shot right off the post there.
They scored 4 goals. I feel like they could have scored about 12 in that match. And honestly, if Son had played, he might have broken the record for most points in a game week. Like, he could have, like a double hat trick would have been on the table for Son in that match. Like, there was... It was like, it was the kind of match where while it was happening, I had to go double check exactly who Huddersfield play the rest of the season to make sure I have some kind of coverage against Huddersfield for every single one of those matches, because it is about as bad as I've ever seen in the Premier League in terms of just like they're done, they're relegated. And that, I feel like that team, and no offense to Huddersfield Sports, but that team would struggle to stay up in the Championship, I think, right? It looks like a League One team.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, it's all those hypotheticals of where would the MLS Cup winner team finish in the Premier League. I think context has a lot to do with these things, and
sure,
you know, there are lots of emotional and psychological things happening in that Huddersfield locker room that we might not be privy to that are impacting these results.
Wow, that was like, would a lawyer tell you to say that?
Yeah, yeah. Listen, we're speaking on behalf of Huddersfield Football Club. We are not throwing any of these matches at all for the number one draft pick going into the Championship next season.
So let's talk quickly about our team so far. I mean, this game week, this podcast is really going to be about game week 35. It's final double game week of the season. There's a lot to plan for. A lot of things are very messed up right now for a lot of people. A lot of people are thinking, wait, I can't go into this game week with two Brighton defenders. They're also thinking, I genuinely can't go to this game week with Troy Deeney in my squad because he's probably not going to play for – I don't think that red card's going to get rescinded, in which case
– Not likely, yeah.
In which case, he's going to miss both of the 35 fixtures, right? Because it's a violent conduct offense is three matches.
It's probably three match ban, yep.
Right, so he won't play again until game week 37, and yeah, it's just a total mess. And then you have issues, you know, Aguero, possible injury doubt, Deulofeu, possible injury doubt. Right, didn't even make the 18 today, even though he apparently had trained all week. So I don't know what to draw
he's
from
a,
that.
He's a personality fit, is what his flag says on the FPL site.
I guess so. And yeah, so it's just, and now where people are like, well, I need some Liverpool players after Mane and Salah seem like they're back in form. So there's a lot to talk about. But just quickly, let's talk about how game week 34 is going for us so far. We both have a couple players left to play. So I'm on 46 points. I have Campton Duffy to go, and I also have Dunk, who's like the forgotten man. Like no one even talks about. It's like we all like what many of us have Dunk, and you're like, oh yeah, and I've also got Dunk. You know, it's like yeah. No one expects anything from Dunk.
Well, there was a very frantic moment where people thought Dunk was going down for an OG.
I had left the house after the I think it was after the third goal was conceded. I was like, yeah, okay,
I can't quite remember which goal it was. It was the one that David Brooks scored that they thought was going to be a Dunk OG. Turned out to not be, but yeah, that was a very scary time for Dunk owners.
So 46 with a zero for my captain feels like a pretty decent return. I'm actually in 48 because I have zero from Deulofeu. So Ward Prowse is coming in for 2 points. So I've got 48 with two players left. But I really feel pretty good about it. I mean, my game week rank is really mediocre, but I think that doesn't necessarily reflect the game week average within the top 10K or so. And I think that my 46 is actually pretty decent within that. Mm-hmm. I know that I've only dropped a total of 18 points. I think I was 835 going into this week, and now I'm 853. So basically like almost completely flat in terms of, you know, total rank. But, you know, I think that the key for me was having double Man City midfield coverage. And it was this decision I made with about 20 minutes to go before the deadline. I didn't feel good about my team. I felt like something was not quite right. And the trick for me was dropping Ederson. And realizing that if I dropped Ederson, I could have all of the Man City players that I wanted, which was De Bruyne, Sterling, and Aguero. And so once I did that, and then obviously I lucked out, and all three of them started on Sunday. You know, it was, and then you know, De Bruyne, that beautiful final assist from De Bruyne too, it was just kind of perfect. And so I got 27 from those two. It doubled my score going into that game week, or going to that match. So yeah, that was it. I got four from Son. The six from Lloris was big. I thought everyone would have a Spurs, you know, defender, and I was surprised that that felt like a little bit of a differential there too.
Can I jump in here and ask you about your goalkeeper situation? So you said everything changed for your team when you dropped Ederson. Are you saying that you had both Lloris and Ederson in your wild card?
I had.
It's not a huge price disparity between Lloris and Ederson.
I had Foster and Ederson, and I just decided to move Ederson to Lloris. And the reasoning was I just felt like everyone was going to have a Spurs defender this weekend, and it was inconceivable to me that Huddersfield could score in that match. And I just thought, I need to have somebody for that game. And so once I did that, that was the move that first happened. And then once I did that, I thought, oh, wait, I can just have an extra Man City midfielder now. You know, it was like, it sort of just like cracked the whole thing open for me. And for me, it was really looking at game week 34 and 35 in a 2 week window or, you know, it's almost like the same fixture, right? Or, you know, it's like these three matches total. And I just thought I'd rather have KDB and Sterling for their next three matches, no matter who they play. And even with some rotation risk over, you know, Eriksen for the same run. I mean, we'll see how it turns out in the end, but, so that was the rationale, and I felt like once I did that, I was like, okay, this really makes sense. And so the way that I've done this is I left myself enough money to, in theory, move from Vardy to Lacazette. Although now I'm sort of doubting that, and now I think I might just keep Vardy for the West Ham match.
And then it's been a season long issue with Arsenal, right. And this happened with Lacazette around the holidays, where I remember bringing Lacazette in because I felt like I was going to nail whatever rotation Emery was doing, or Lacazette was at least starting and playing 60, and then he couldn't even get on the pitch. So,
yeah, you got screwed by him twice now this season. It's So that's how I ended up on 48 with two to go. Feel pretty good about that, to be totally honest.
And I am on 39 points on my wild card, and I'm feeling very ho-hum about it. But what I keep telling myself about this wild card is I'm setting myself up more long-term. And the gambit I've taken with this wild card is to keep Mo Salah. And, you know, right now it's looking like, oh, I should have gone for Raheem Sterling with the double game week coming up. He really is coming off in game week 34. But just as you're saying about Huddersfield, I'm just looking at these upcoming fixtures for Liverpool, Cardiff in game week 34, and then Huddersfield. I'm sorry, Cardiff in 35 and then Huddersfield in 36. I'm kind of happy with my overall rank. I dropped around 4,500 spots and 18,500 OR right now. But what I'm feeling right now is if I'm going to achieve anything more with my team this season is I want to be a little more aggressive. And going Liverpool attack felt like a differential to me. So in lieu of Sterling or another big premium double game week asset, I kept Mo Salah, and I'm strongly considering turning Jamie Vardy, who I kept in my wild card, into Roberto Firmino, probably ahead of the Huddersfield match.
Yep, I like that move. I would consider that as well.
Yeah, but Lacazette burned me, and that was a move where I was kind of – I felt like he was assured to start this week, and given he didn't even play 70 minutes in the Europa League fixture, and Aubameyang was reportedly limping down the tunnel after that match, and Lacazette has still been favored. That hasn't worked out. And yeah, as I mentioned earlier, captaincy on Vardy. So the question for me, which we'll probably touch upon later, is how long to stick with Jamie Vardy in this squad.
We will talk about it later. So let's table that for the time being. Let's do a little housekeeping here, Brandon. Before we do that, we have a question from Red Dagger. He says, if you were absolute crap at FPL and never looked at any tips, website, or listened to any podcast, and he says, okay, you listen to Always Cheating because it's awesome, but you forget about it immediately afterwards. He says, would you in fact be better than all of us?
What he's trying to get at here is issues of groupthink and sort of sheep mentality. There's been lots of chatter about this going on. Like, how did a lot of people end up really doubling down or even captaining a Brighton defender? Is it mostly just because of groupthink?
I don't even understand this argument, because if anything, the groupthink argument was captaining Son, when he was so likely to be rested for that match. I mean, that was like 60% of the top 10K went that way. I thought that was a huge risk, and I never would have captained Son for that match. It's just like, it points to a kind of conservatism that a lot of people have, where like, it's like the idea of even captaining a defender is like kind of terrifying, because it opens up this sort of window into like all these different ways you could play the game, this sort of I don't even want to have to think about that. Like, I don't, it's like, I thought I knew how to play this, it's like, it reminds me of like an online poker when like people started playing like insanely aggressive and, going all in with 5-7 offsitter, and people were like, I don't know how to play this style,
Or the fact that there are hard and fast rules that you can never break. I mean, what a game be if you couldn't sort of bend and twist the rules to your own enjoyment?
Yeah, it was just weird. And I felt like it was like, there was like an actual anger out there, like about people who did this and about how like people deviated from like the right way to play or something. And I was just like, why do you care? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, what I didn't see a lot of were people who captained him, got zero, and got mad at like us. I mean, certainly you and I did not advocate for captaining Duffy on last week's podcast. We, discussed it as a possible option, but I wasn't like, you should captain Duffy. I would never have said that,
Yes.
And in fact, you didn't do that, and I
did not.
We debated lots of different captain options on there. So, I mean, it's just this, it was just this idea that like, that people, I just think it like made people uncomfortable, this idea of sort of going outside and then the fact that it didn't work out sort of justified their discomfort. And then there was like an anger, like, see, like this is the right way to play and you are wrong or something. And I just thought it was, I thought the whole thing was really off-putting and kind of rude. Like I just like, I would never call people sheep or talk about a herd mentality or anything like that on the podcast or on social media or anything. Cause I think it's insulting and not nice. And so anyway, that was kind of how I felt about it.
Well, here, I'll say this, will be my piece on it is we're here on this podcast and people, there is a community around FPL and people play FPL and talk about it with their friends because it's fun to talk about this. I don't think we show up on Always Cheating every week to tell people what to do. I hope it's representative of how fun it is to enjoy and discuss the game and all its bits and pieces.
Yeah, to answer Rodrigo's question, I mean, I just think people remember the failures and they forget all the other time. I mean, clearly, if you listen to a lot of podcasts and read a lot of advice online and talk to people about the game, you're probably doing quite well and much better than most of the people who are not taking it as seriously. Of course, there are always exceptions, and that's part of why people play, right? It's like it's the randomness that makes it part of. You know, it's like that Phil Hellmuth, you know, if there was no luck, I'd win every time. But it's like, that's not, you need, the luck is what makes it fun, you know, and what makes it, what does, like, I mean, yeah, there's a version of this game that just like has no luck at all and just drives away everybody except like this hardcore group of, you know, 800 people or something. And I don't know why that would be fun. Like, I don't know. So I'm like a Big Ten kind of person and, I've totally lost my train of thought here, Brandon. So get me out of here.
We need to separate and form a super league. Say an always cheating super league. Mm-hmm. And then only the tough will survive. Speaking of surviving, Josh.
Yes, yes.
People need to vote for us. We are finalists in the Football Blogging Awards, which is so cool. Thanks to everyone who was able to get us nominated in the category of Best Fantasy Football Content Creator. And the awards are happening in early May. It's really awesome for Always Cheating to be nominated. If you want to vote for us as Best Fantasy Football Content Creator, heck, just visit the FBA website, which is footballbloggingawards.co.uk, or just go to our Twitter profile. We have a pinned tweet there with all the information on what you need to know to vote for us. And we'll just note this, our friends, the London is Blue pod, they're a great Chelsea pod. You can also cast a vote for them in the Best International Content Creator category.
Wonderful. All right. So please do that. I think the voting closes at the end of this week. So this is the last time we will mention it on the podcast. But if you listen to the podcast and you like to support the work that we do, then it would be really very much appreciated if you go to the Football Blogging Awards and vote for us or tweet it out.
Even to make things easier, Josh, I'll put a link in the show notes of this podcast. So if you're listening on your phone, just pull up the notes for this episode. There should be a link right there.
Perfect. All right, Brandon, the Always X Gene competition. We have a winner. The winner is, you have a drum roll, Brandon? Can I get a little drum roll here? Kun Karam is the winner.
Outstanding. Yes, Kun Karam. He had an outstanding entry into our call for can you illustrate what XG is? Because most of us just pretend that we know what it is. And through incorporating the video of Maxime Choupo-Moting for PSG, basically clearing the ball off of his opposing team's goal line. Mm-hmm. Tremendously entertaining illustration of what XG is and can be. So, Kun, we will get a t-shirt for Always Cheating in the mail to you right away. We'll be in touch for those details.
Yep. And we had just a thank you to everyone. Michael Danielson, FPL Elements, Juan Aguitos on our Slack, FPL Ant, Eric Freeman, Adam P., Sam Danby, and I'm sure we're missing a couple other ones too, but thank you to everyone who submitted for the contest. Always Cheating Super League still being updated. We'll update the final Super League standings after tomorrow's match. Brandon, we have a couple rants though this week.
Yeah, first rant coming here from Paul Larkin. I wildcarded out Wilson, Fraser, Brooks, Pogba, and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Ended up with 36 points. I would have had, guess this, Josh, 92 if I didn't touch my team.
It's amazing.
Man, just one of those weeks. It's really mind-numbing, but
strange game week.
You have to my theory has always been for seasons upon seasons that a wild card team never achieves its potential in its first week. So keep your eyes on the prize. There's always next week.
It might be an argument for not wildcarding in game week 34, as all of us decided to do.
Yes.
Like maybe perhaps, don't wait until there's 5 weeks left. Yep.
Next rant comes from FPL Awesomeo. Held Pogba through his last six games, in which he got one return, 12 points, a missed penalty. I remember that one. That was a bad one for me, Awesomeo. And generally played below average. Sold on my wild card, max bonus points, 15 points, and damage in my mini leagues. But FPL Awesomeo ends by saying, I love this game. So it's not all bad.
Yeah, the last one, Brandon, I'll read this one because this one really touched me. It was a Austin Beats. It was a screenshot of him with Captain Troy Deeney on a -4. And he says, why does this keep happening this year? Not a Captain Red every week. Yes, I know, but these cruel twists of fate, which you just could never predict nor script. Picked myself up off the canvas so many times this season, but I think I'm done. Start the count. Hashtag endgame. We're, of course, sponsored by Avengers Endgame, so we will pepper this podcast with many references to it. That's brutal, though. I mean, the Deeney, it's a bold captaincy. It was a weird week for captaincy, I think. I think that was one of the reasons why I think Duffy was a valid captain. Is I think there was a lot of concern about which Man City players would start this weekend. KDB is the only one that I really wish I would have kept. He was my vice captain this week, and I wish I would have just pulled the trigger and made him my captain. Well, obviously, I do now that he picked up 11 points, but... It really was up in the air. You could have gone Vardy, you could have gone Son, you could have gone Eriksen, which I think may have been maybe the smartest and most conservative pick. I think that the top four managers overall all went Eriksen, which I think is a nice, smart, conservative play. It was just a tricky one.
All right, let's move on to our last piece of housekeeping, Patreon. We have some new Patreon members. We have a ton. I think 20 I counted, all told. So quick thank yous to our new Patreon subscribers. At the Volkswagen level, it's Anton Titoff. At the Lord Sorloff level, Thorvalder Trostason. With a name like that, how could you not go for the Sorloff tier, right?
That's true, yeah.
And at the Mbakani level, we've got a slew of names here. I want to thank each one of them individually. Nicodemus Wong, what would Gabriel Jesus do? Adam Pritchard coming in with a renewal of his support. Thanks, Adam. Sachin Sony, Bruno Dutar, Ross Shepard, Toby Ecclestone, James Stevens, Dave Evans, Justin Haynes, Karen Kostla, FPL Kev, Josh Zarahoff, Paul Carroll, Chris Maya, Manny Still, Sean Lynch, and Colin Fallon. Josh, give them the pitch one last time on how they can support OSG.
So the most important thing is become a Patreon supporter if you want to support the work that we do. I think that we have lots of features like bonus podcasts, like the Slack, like contests and giveaways and things like that we do that make it worthwhile. But first and foremost, if you want to support the podcast, this is why you should go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. All right, Brandon, let's take a break. Let's get right into game week 35 planning questions and dilemmas. All right, Brandon, we're back. Game week 35. I have some key questions for game week 35. Okay. I have a couple that they weren't even questions from listeners. They were just two questions that I felt like we needed to talk about on this podcast.
Okay.
First one, Troy Deeney replacements. Now, neither of us have Deeney. I don't know if you really considered him. I did not consider him just because I don't like him. I don't know. I just didn't want him for whatever reason.
Troy Deeney, he's kind of just a fun player generally to watch and root for. He's a character, I guess you could say. And there was the fanciful part of me kind of toyed with the idea of bringing Troy Deeney in. But if I step back and actually look at my team, no, I never really seriously did. Probably only because, you know, there are just so many other options. The trick is, as we're about to discuss, is the price point. There are lots of other striker options, but ones that just fit nicely into a Troy Deeney-shaped hole. That's a trickier proposition.
I think that is the trickier proposition. So, I mean, I guess there's... You know, I guess I just want to think about like for like comparisons. I mean, obviously, if you're talking about Brennan 4, Brennan 8, then you can – there are a lot of other players you can consider. But Troy Deeney is at 5.9 million. So if I had Troy Deeney and I was looking to replace him and I had any money in my bank, the move that I would make would be for Troy Deeney to Callum Wilson, who does not have a double game week, but he plays at home to Fulham. He's back in form. I would take one Bournemouth at home to Fulham fixture over two fixtures for any of the alternatives. And he only costs 0.7 million more. So that would be my pick. What about you?
I don't know. Now that Tim Ream is back to being player of the season caliber at Fulham, keeping their first clean sheet in God knows how long. I don't know about that. Wilson is the one that stands out to me for the reasons you cite. But I guess I'm going to make the case for team surgery. And I think this is an opportunity to burn four ahead of the double game week, which if there was any time where you could sort of without batting an eyelash, look to burn four in your team, it's ahead of a massive double game week where the point ceiling is going to be that much higher for your full squad and you have a little bit of wiggle room to maneuver. So I'm looking at players like Firmino or Lacazette or Jamie Vardy, or if you don't already have him, which odds are you probably do, Raul Jimenez. I think for me, just thinking about this price, it feels bad to hem yourself in and limit yourself to just a like-for-like swap. I think you have to think about getting out the best team you possibly can, and if minus four can get you there, let's do it. Does that make sense?
I do think that it does, although I think if you – yeah, I mean, it does. I still would probably go the route that I suggested, but I think if you wanted to – if you wanted a double gaming player, I think that you could also consider Llorente. The caveat here is that we're recording on Monday night. What I would love would be for him not to play in the second leg of the Man City match, or at least not start that match, and just see them play Son as a lone forward. In which case, I think I like Llorente as a pick, especially if Kane's out the rest of the season. I mean, you know, you're not just looking at game week 35, you're looking all the way ahead. So, you know, yeah, the Man City away fixture in 35 isn't great, but then it's Brighton, West Ham, and Everton at home in three of the next four. And a 5.1 million forward for Spurs who plays at home in those matches would be pretty compelling, especially if he can finish a little better than he has the last. I mean, that his finishing was absolutely woeful in the Huddersfield match.
Yeah. You know, I'll just flag a few other players if we just want to do a straight swap. I mean, both Newcastle and Bournemouth, as you mentioned, have decent fixtures coming up. Newcastle plays Southampton in 35, then Brighton away in 36, or Rondon and Perez on Newcastle, both looking decent. Perez is kind of seems to be the in-form striker over Rondon, weirdly, just in this small window we're looking at now.
I think Perez is tempting too. It's a tough spot, but I think that, yeah, I think those are all, I mean, Shane Long is so cheap. So I guess you could just go that way too, where you just have Long and then you just use that money to like upgrade somebody. I don't know. Like maybe you use that money to bring in a De Bruyne or a Sterling or something like that. Maybe if you still have Gylfi in your team.
I'm not going to say anything about Shane Long for fear of Eric Freeman's Redmond-esque retribution.
That's fair. Two goals in his last two matches, though, so, you know, not too bad. He didn't start that match, though, the Wolves match. I don't know if the two goals and two means he earns a start or not. Like, I mean, basically all the attackers have been, like, stayaways for Southampton. I still cannot believe that Redmond got two goals after we bashed him on last week's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you the power of always cheating and how far our voices do travel and how much the players consider. I mean, Duffy probably captained himself and his FPL team after listening to Always Cheating.
Oh, did you not see that? He actually did.
Yeah, I did. I'm positing that it was because of us.
Oh yeah, exactly. I'm certain it was. I read an interview where he mentioned us, or I think it was us. I was in the other room, but it sounded like we were credited there. So
all right, we've successfully given a lukewarm answer to this Troy Deeney question. What's the next question?
Second question that I am asking us that no one asked us is this one was inspired by Joe from Fantasy Football Scout. Would you consider a triple captain instead of a bench boost? Going into game 34. Especially if you had Deeney, would you consider a triple? How about straight up? Like, I mean, for me, now I have these two Brighton players, so I don't really want any more. I sort of like my team as a full 11 as opposed to a full 15. So is that anything you'd consider and then using a bench boost later on in the season?
Yeah, I had the same thought. I mean, I think I had the same thought just after finalizing my wild card team. is this looks like a stronger 11 than it does a stronger 15, just like you said, Josh. So the issue that we'll get onto later on in the pod is, if you're looking at a triple captaincy in game week 35, who would it be? It's not an open and shut case on who the best captain is for this game week, which makes that decision even more harrowing. So that would be really my only, the only thing that would stop me from playing the triple captain is just the uncertainty of who it is that's going to be. I feel like we've leaned on the triple captaincy either earlier in the season, where I don't want to drudge up the whole Leroy Sané situation that impacted a lot of managers out there. But sometimes you just zero in on this one player and you say, yes, this is the guy, this is the week, let's go. And I think that's probably the better way to think about the triple captaincy. But yeah, I don't see what I'm going to gain. I'm not going to gain huge strides by bench boosting in 35.
Yeah, just seeing Duffy and Dunk, I mean, away for the next two matches. Like, what do you expect to get from those two? So, I mean, I guess, you know, I was going to talk about it later, but let's just move it up right now. Matt Seward had a question, you know, quite straight up. He just said, who are the best captain options for this upcoming game week? And it's remarkable that there's not an easy answer to this question. Right. There is not a straightforward, obvious answer to this question. Now, some of this will be clarified after the Champions League matches take place. Right. Yeah. Like the problem is, I would love to captain a Man City player, but I mean, surely they have to play their strongest squad at home for the second leg. Right. Down a goal to Spurs.
Yes. Then they play Spurs again, followed by the Manchester Derby. It's a real slew of blockbuster fixtures for City. And
yeah, you know, like if Sterling just somehow didn't play this in the Champions League, I don't know how that would happen. Let's just say he was just exhausted or something from slicing up Crystal Palace over the weekend. If that happened, then yes, I think he would be the obvious captain pick, much like De Bruyne should have been the obvious captain pick after he was rested for the first leg. If something like that happened, then sure. But let's assume that Aguero, Sterling, and KDB all play 70-plus minutes at midweek. Does that eliminate them as a captain option for you?
I mean, eliminate is it makes them lower on the list, right? And just looking at Spurs United just on their own, how tightly contested are those games going to be? How many goals do you expect Man City to score in those fixtures?
A million.
they very well could bury both of them easily. I mean, City are obviously, you don't have to say they're one of the best attacking teams in the league. I'm reminded of these rules, speaking of rules that we were earlier in the show, FPL General talking about game week 34, where he's looking at Shane Duffy and he's saying, I have a rule. If there's a double game week player, you have to captain him, but never captain a defender. So you're going to break one of those rules in game week 34. So for me, I think Liverpool look like a really exciting option going against Cardiff. Cardiff have a lot to play for, but they're going to have to score goals. And Liverpool could turn around and bury them. But
Do you want Jamie Vardy yourself again?
Yeah, don't Jamie Vardy yourself again. And why do we go all in on all these double game week players just to captain a single game week player? Now, maybe I'm talking myself out of what should be a logical cut and dry situation. And then looking at my own personal team, another team that stands out is Arsenal. And I've got Lacazette, who looks like a really good option up front. Crystal Palace are without both of their starting central defenders and James Tompkins and Mamadou Sakho. So home Crystal Palace followed by Wolves away. Wolves defense is no big shakes. So I like that. But now this whole issue of Emery not knowing quite where he stands with rotation ahead of their Europa League fixture late in the week. Lacazette plays a full 90 on Thursday, how does he look for the weekend?
I agree. I just don't think he can. I mean, yeah, of course, either one of them, Aubameyang or Lacazette, could end up being the highest scoring player in 35. Of course they could. But could you do it? I mean, I'm reluctant to even bring in Lacazette, which was my planned move for this game week. Just out of a fear that I don't know what I'm going to get out of them, you know? Yeah. And I think that Wolves match is a little tricky too. And I think Crystal Palace will put up a better fight than they did. I actually thought they played okay in that Man City match. I mean, they didn't get embarrassed or anything. I mean, they were like,
I totally agree.
Like, Yeah, they're on their, what, third and fourth string center backs. And, you know, and any, I mean, no one looks great against Man City. But, you know, when they scored that, when Millie scored that goal, I was like, man, they could actually draw this match. Like, it's,
yeah.
It would not have been, you know, impossible.
Wan-Bissaka had an amazing game, I thought. I mean, he's had an amazing season. Yeah. He looked great that game.
He kept that game competitive for sure. I mean, yeah, even Sterling's second goal was a bit lucky. I mean, he's so skilled that I guess I shouldn't call it lucky, but he was, you know, it was right place, right time kind of goal.
Yeah.
I think right now I've got it on Aguero, and I've got Jimenez as my vice captain.
Yeah.
I think that... that's kind of what I like. I mean, if Aguero played the full 90 at midweek, I might not do that. You know, but I mean, Jimenez, I think, is a perfectly acceptable captain choice. I'm happy to captain somebody who's not a top six team. I mean, they're what, in seventh place anyway. Two home fixtures. He's been great. I mean, I was just looking back to see how many times they've had back-to-back home fixtures this season, just out of curiosity. I mean, I think it's only happened a couple of times. You know, I think maybe... yeah, they played Leicester and West Ham back to back, and he scored 17 points in those two matches. That was in game weeks 23 and 24. But I mean, in general, you know, 11 points at home to Man United, 12 points at home to Cardiff, 12 points at home to West Ham, 8 points at home to Chelsea, 12 points at home to Spurs. I mean, he can score at home on anybody, you know. Yeah. And I mean, the guy has 12 goals and 10 assists in the season. It's an amazing season. Like, it's going to turn into like an Eden Hazard level season in terms of, you know, his total. I mean, he might end up on like, what, like 16 goals and 12 assists or something. I mean, that is insanely prolific. It's just incredible. A great season for him.
The only other team I think we could possibly build a case for would be Spurs, if you can nail the rotation down. Mm-hmm. Man City away. The first leg of game week 35, if you will, is obviously going to be tough, but Brighton getting completely decimated by Bournemouth by 5 goals, and you're looking at a home fixture at the new White Hart Lane.
Yep.
If you can get that rotation right, you can get your captain on Spurs to start in that Brighton fixture. I think that can more than cover the points that you might feel like you're giving up with that tougher Man City away fixture.
Yeah, I just wish that Man City fixture wasn't so tough. I mean, yeah. You know, I think I'd almost prefer Liverpool in one leg away to Palace over a captain and a Man City or a Spurs player.
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse me, away to Cardiff. So, yeah, it's really tricky. I mean, I think Aguero just seems like I expect him to play 120 minutes, you know, across those matches. I guess there's like a little bit of doubt about his health because he looked like he limped off. Then it was confirmed that he was fine, but then managers would also lie. Although Pep is actually usually pretty honest about that stuff.
Commentators suggested that he was just going back for a massage after he came off in the Palace fixture.
Oh, is that right? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So he will start the Man United match away for sure, right? What are the odds that he gets 0 minutes at home to Spurs next Saturday? It seems low to me, right? I mean, I expect him to play at least 30 minutes, right? 35, yeah. Maybe. I mean, you know, just depends on, you know, how the match shakes out. But like, let's say he gets 120 minutes. Mm-hmm. He could end up being the best option for 120 minutes. I mean, I mentioned this on last week's podcast, and this is the reason I tripled up on their attack. I just think that they're fixture proof, and I don't even look at the fixtures with Man City. The only thing I consider is rotation and the concern about whether or not they're going to start. You know, mm-hmm. I do not, there's no match they have that scares me in terms of, you know, how many points I think they can pick up.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think I could also see Aguero not playing a single minute against the Spurs in the league, but you know, who knows? Who the heck knows?
Who knows? Exactly. We're just guessing. All right. Next question. So have we settled on anything there? I'm going to go with Aguero for now. I may shift it to Jimenez at some point.
Yeah. I've got the armband on Lacazette myself, but it's really going to hinge on what happens in the Napoli fixture on Thursday. If Laca plays 90 minutes, then it's troubling times for the BK Broilers.
All right, so we got an important kitchen table podcast coming up later this game week.
That's true.
What to do with Liverpool? We got a couple different questions about Liverpool here. I'm going to jump ahead to Karen Costley. Says Mane versus Salah. Who do you want?
I mean, I stuck it out with Mo Salah, and I think I saw you say this on Twitter over the weekend, Josh, where it's just going to be a coin toss or maybe a 50-50 split through the rest of the season, similar mm-hmm. to what we've seen all season with Salah and Mane. Somehow Salah comes out with this big leading edge in FPL points, but it seems week to week, it feels 50-50 between the two. I think if for budgetary reasons you can afford Mane and not Salah, then I'd go Mane in a heartbeat. No problem. I personally feel, I don't know, I don't want to get it confused with some sort of narrative situation, but Salah just seems like there's just something there, right? There's a little more, there feels like there's something a little more at stake, maybe because he's gone through this weird rut the last couple of months, and each time he does something good, he kind of explodes in emotion. So you feel like maybe there's a possible explosive breakthrough that's there, but you know, that's probably me just talking myself into something. I think if Liverpool is in full flight, either Mane or Salah will come away with the points, and it's a coin toss.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I actually agree with you, like in the way that you're talking about Salah, but I think just from a like FPL perspective, that 3 million is just so major that, and I feel like just looking at my wildcard team right now, I don't have either one, and Mane I can get in quite easily, right? It's a very simple move. I could do it right now. And Salah would require me to get rid of a lot of players that I want to keep, you know? And so if I feel like it's a coin flip, then I'm just going to go with the one who is the easiest player to bring in, you know? And even if I kind of rate Salah higher, just for all the reasons you just mentioned. So, you know, it just comes down to money, like everything in life.
You get what you pay for sometimes.
Yeah. Sam Danby says, I have VVD, Salah, and Firmino. Do I get more points out of keeping them for the final push or transferring one out for the double game week? He says, if yes, which and for who? I think you and I are going to agree on this one.
I think you roll with all three, personally.
I agree. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree.
I was wondering which way you're going to go for that one.
You're not dropping Liverpool players right now, not before Cardiff and Huddersfield. I mean, they could get rotated. That's true of everybody in the double game weeks, too. You know, there's no fixture-proof player out there. I mean, every good asset is a rotation doubt. So you just keep your awesome players for their awesome fixtures. I mean, one Cardiff and one Huddersfield is worth like a triple game week practically. Like it's so, you know, they're so valuable.
I love that phrase. Awesome players, awesome fixtures.
All right. Next question from Eric Freeman. It says, how many points does Salah have to average the rest of the season for us to be worth bringing him back into our teams? I think it's just too late for me. I just don't know how I'd even bring him back. It would be, Aguero would have to get injured and then have to bring in Troy Deeney off his red card or something.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem is you actually don't really want a Watford player for game week 38, right? They're almost certainly not going to, they'll play like a second squad side, right?
Oh, totally. They're going to play the babies, as Roger Bennett is so fond of saying. I think it's for Liverpool, it's down to the next two fixtures. Obviously, they're going to be fighting to the end for the league title, but Cardiff and Huddersfield, I think the only reason to bring in, if you don't already have a mega expensive player like Mo Salah, is to have a huge differential gain, and the huge ceiling for them will be in these really weak fixtures, Cardiff and Huddersfield. We've seen with Liverpool throughout the season, you know, they'll come away with 3 points in tough fixtures, but they'll come away with them after scoring a goal, maybe two. Mm-hmm. So there's not going to be a huge points return. So I think it's now or never for Liverpool in terms of a differential and worth you investing.
I like your move. I mean, I think it could really work out. I was surprised that Salah lost. I shouldn't be surprised at this point, but I was surprised. Wasn't he on for two or three bonus points? And I don't know. I guess it was probably two.
He was on for two. It was the Mane jumping above him because of the game-winning goal moved Salah completely out of contention. But yeah, it's a story as old as time, Salah on the DPS.
All right, one more Liverpool question, then let's take a quick break, Brandon. We'll do a lightning round of Game Week 35 questions. FPL Frank says, 3 Liverpool, 3 City, 3 Spurs. Is that feasible for the run-in?
Yeah, I suppose it is threeable. It's so many threes, so many triptychs. It does seem feasible. I mean, these are among the three best teams in the entire league, so why not? Mm-hmm. I mean, the Spurs losing Kane changes some of the FPL dynamics there, but I mean, you with Lloris, you, Josh, are an example, a guiding light that it can be done with Spurs defense. So that yep, that presents a different option than just Spurs attackers. So yeah,
we'll see how let's see how he does away to Man City. But yeah, I mean, I'm on six right now, and I would like to have nine. I mean, I plan to have three Liverpool at some point before the season's over. I'll have Mane no later than game week 36. I'd actually love to have him for game week 35. I have three City, two Spurs already. Would I want a third Spur? And that I'm not as sure about. I mean, who would you want? Like outside of, I guess you could go Eriksen, Son, and one defender, probably Lloris.
Well, I guess the word of caution would be we're talking after the Huddersfield result, and Huddersfield will flatter just about every team in the league. And Spurs haven't been known for the tightest defense and howler-free goalkeeper all season. And who came away with all the points in that match? You know, somebody we haven't talked about in so long, Lucas Moura. I would have some concerns about Eriksen and how he's performed previous to the season with Kane out of the team. Heung-min Son is the clear runaway favorite of the attacking player that you want there. So I'd focus my effort on maybe an attacking defender and Son, Eriksen somewhere in the middle. And then after that, maybe you're looking at Lloris or a differential like Lucas Moura if it looks like he's going to hold his starting spot.
Yeah, it's possible that Trippier has got his rest. Like that was the one time he was going to get rested, and he just plays it out throughout the rest of the season. You know, it's possible. Though, I mean, Pochettino just rotates his fullbacks too much for me to trust him. Yeah. All right, Brandon, should we take a break?
Let's do it. I need a glass of water, Josh. I'm feeling dehydrated.
All right, let's talk soon.
Okay, Josh, now is our favorite part of the podcast when we talk about our friends at Starting 11. It's the live Premier League fantasy app that you can play for free or cash prizes. Starting 11, the app. It's available for your iPhone or your Android device. We're talking a lot about wild cards. With Starting 11, every day in which there are two or more Premier League matches, it's a wild card. You can pick your best 11-man squad, but here's the thing, Josh. There are no budget restrictions.
That's right.
You can have whoever you want, regardless
Every
of the cost.
Every day is a wild card.
There you go. You're in the spirit.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, it's nice. It's a great song, Brandon, whoever sings that song.
A great song just became a great live fantasy app. Starting 11, it lets you make substitutions in your squad in real time, just like a real-life manager. Join thousands of players worldwide who are competing in English Premier League contests for cash and for pride, if cash doesn't float your boat. On your iOS, if you have an iPhone, Joshua, and I know you do, you're one of those guys. You love Tim Cook. You're a cookie.
Big time cookie.
Yeah. So you're on your iPhone there. You can play cash games live in the UK, US, Canada, and Germany. And if you're on an Android phone, Josh, I know you love your Android device. I don't know of anybody in the C-suite over there at Google, but pretend I do. If you're on an Android, you can play cash games in the UK. Or listen, just pick up the Starting 11 app and play for free wherever you are. You can challenge people to compete, some friends of yours, people in the same pub, anyone who is closer than a pitch length away from you. You can just geo-target them and play Starting 11 with them. So visit starting11.io for more details or hit up the Apple App Store or Google Play Store to download the app. If you visit the website, you can get some great video tutorials, more content about how to get the most out of the app. As you're fond of saying, Josh, what is it? What's that thing you like to say?
What I'm fond of saying, I say this to my wife and child all the time, constantly. I say it's the first thing I say when I wake up in the morning, and it's the last thing I say before I put them to bed in the evening. I put my
it's
my
like Cider House Rules.
Yeah, I put them in separate beds. I say, remember, when it comes to Starting 11, don't waste your money gambling on things you don't understand. Be smart and participate in a game that you do. and then they both sort of nod sagely and fall asleep almost instantly. So it's good advice will make you drowsy. I've always said that.
It sounds slightly macabre, but but I do enjoy it. Starting 11, download the app today. Have some fun. Win some money.
Brandon, we're back. We've got a lightning round. We've got a lot of questions here, so we're going to do this as a true lightning round, not one of these fake lightning rounds where we go on for any longer than 30 seconds.
I've heard about
this
that.
One, it's very, very short and to the point. It has to be. It simply has to be. All right. Jeff Petter says, Jeff Petter says, is it madness to consider dropping Mora now after his Monster Haul?
I don't know. I wonder if Jeff had a plan, because Lucas Moura felt like a bit of a punt coming into game week 34. But
yeah.
Listen, Spurs, they have the double game week. It's not the craziest thing I heard. It's not like Pochettino has a ton of options there on the bench. And I mean, I keep coming back to this idea that it was Huddersfield. It was at home. You don't want to read too much into it and how much will Pochettino put on that performance considering these things. So I don't know. It's also a bit of a watch and learn depending on how the Champions League match sorts itself out midweek.
I wouldn't drop him. I mean, Mora over two fixtures, he could do as well as Jota or Ward-Prowse or Deulofeu if he plays. I mean, the Deulofeu thing, there's some people asking about that. Like, will he play as a false nine or something? Like, will he play? Like, is he going to play at all? Like, who knows? You know, I mean, it's like he's supposed to be healthy and trained, and then he didn't even make the 18. Like, what's going on with this guy? So, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be like burn, you know, I certainly wouldn't like burn four to bring in him, you know, not knowing what's going on. So I would just hold Mora, Jeff.
Yeah.
Adam P says, should I stick with my original plan of bringing in Mane for Eriksen or find a way to fit a Liverpool defender in? I says the midfield and forward options feel like a lottery. So would you bring in Mane for Eriksen?
Yeah, I think I like the Mane pick just for the attacking potential over the course of Cardiff and Huddersfield.
Yeah.
More so than the Liverpool defender. Of course, clean sheets, you know, some might say they're a lock for Cardiff and Huddersfield. But I think Mane for the double, and maybe then you go for the Liverpool defender going into game week 36.
Yeah, I mean, Mane doesn't have a double, but I think in a vacuum I'd make that move. If I had other my plan was always to go from Vardy to Lacazette, and now I'm suddenly realizing I just don't want to bench boost with two Brighton players. So my thinking now is I want to find a way to drop Dunk or Duffy for somebody who's actually good. I mean, okay, Duffy's been fine this season. He's like, you know, scored, I think, five goals or something like that. But, you know, I feel like
you've just alienated 75% of our listenership, Jeff. Way to go.
I don't know why I felt like I like hurt Duffy's feelings by saying that. Like, whatever, that team sucks, right? And I don't really want to have two other players for two away fixtures in game week 35. And I feel like the problem is I don't really know who the like ideal transfer is. Like, maybe I could get from Duffy to Nacho Monreal. Like, if I could do that, then sure. Maybe that's a move I would consider. Mm-hmm. You know, but you really have to, like, this is, like, real, like, again, like, not to be cliche here, but, like, and I guess we have to do this for viral marketing, Brandon, but we're in the end game now, right? So
sure, contractually obligated. We're in the Iron Man Presents end game.
So you can't just think to yourself, though, like, okay, I'm going to do this move, and then I'm going to do this move. I mean, you have to think to yourself, I'm going to do this move and this move. And you can't just be like, all right, I have 0.7 in the bank, so I'm going to move Duffy to Monreal. You have to think, all right, if I do that, does that stop me from doing something else? Like, for me, if I just spent all the available cash that I had to move Duffy to Monreal, I wouldn't have that 0.4 in the bank that I still need to move De Bruyne to Mane without burning points in game week 36. So it gets very complicated, you know, this late in the season. And so I'm really looking for a, like, you know, what is Duffy right now? It's like 4.7, maybe he's 4.8. So I'd be looking for like a 5.1 million or cheaper player for the game week 35 double. Does anyone stand out to you? Is there any, like, you know, anyone seem like an obvious pick?
A 5.1 player
or cheaper, 5.1 or cheaper, for 35.
Yeah, my man Ryan Bertrand for Southampton. I love the Newcastle-Watford double up. Maybe you look at a Watford defender like Cathcart, Huddersfield, Southampton, a great defensive double. I mean, you already have Foster, so do you want to move from a Brighton defensive double up to a Watford
and I've already got Bednarak, too, so I've got a Southampton players. The problem with Southampton is that they don't play away in those two matches. You know, I don't really necessarily want to double up away for two, you know, so I already have a Wolves defender. I don't know. So it's just a tricky one. I think, you don't really want Man United because obviously they play, City in one of those two matches. Yeah, it's tricky. I guess I could go for a second Spurs player, but that would just be for the one leg of the Brighton match. Yeah. So maybe I just hold a transfer. I don't really know. I mean, or I just do what Adam P was just talking about, and I move De Bruyne to Mane before the Cardiff game. But do I really want to move a double game week player before? I don't know. It's really tricky.
Are you familiar with the phrase "a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush"? Is it any coincidence that it's the Brighton Seagulls, and you have the birds in the hand now? So, while we may feel quite burned on Brighton at the moment, and it's not a whole lot of reason for us to have faith in their defense, they have two fixtures, to come away with, two, three, 4 points. That's good enough for me as instead of looking to change or like sort of waste a transfer, so to speak.
Yeah.
On a crap defender.
Yeah. I mean, maybe what I do is I just hold a transfer, which would be crazy. I mean, I don't think I've ever held a transfer going into a double game week before. But it would be a possibility. And then I guess what I would do would be I'd move Vardy and De Bruyne on a double move. And then I would have Robertson, Mane, Firmino as my three players for Liverpool, which would be
I've got some bad news, Josh. Your 30 seconds are up for the lightning round. Right. Moving on to the next question. When Harry met Ali, now that I've tripled up on Wolves, are they on the beach? So is when Harry met Ali late to the party here?
What was even the original question that I went on for about 7 minutes about my own team? Are Wolves on the beach? I don't know. That was not a great match. That was not an encouraging match. If you have, I have two Wolves. I almost had three. I dropped Jota right at the last minute. They don't have a lot to play for, do they?
Well, let's read this into that match. It was their first match, their first league match after coming off of that semifinal sort of gutting defeat after being up by two goals against Watford. Emotionally draining, probably hard to get back into the competitive mindset in a way. So this could be one way to excuse that performance over the weekend. For me, I'd still feel pretty good about Wolves' attack. You could say this about any team that's on the beach. They're still sort of trying to play form into the summer and into next season.
Yeah, and then in Southampton's credit, I mean, we're still talking about them as a terrible, terrible team, and they have actually been pretty decent the last several game weeks, right? I mean,
they've been outstanding.
They've been outstanding. So it's probably a little unfair to simply just say, they played Southampton and didn't do well, so they're on the beach. You know, Southampton have been, especially on the, Southampton at home in particular, have been pretty solid, So, they had that big win over Spurs. They held their own against Liverpool, obviously just beat Wolves. So, I think it remains to be seen. And I'm actually sort of, as we're going through this podcast, reconsidering the Jimenez captaincy. And I'm just starting to think maybe it's actually the safest of all the captain choices.
New Patreon supporter Bruno Dutor asks, I've had Vardy on my team since game week 29, but I think that now is the time to drop him. What would you guys consider to be a top choice to replace him? I'm throwing my hat in the ring for Roberto Firmino, even though he's got the single game week. I just love those two game week 35 and 36 back-to-back fixtures against Cardiff and Huddersfield.
Right, but you're talking about captain Lacazette this game week, so clearly Lacazette is a player you would consider there too, right?
Yes. Yes. I would also consider Lacazette. So if I get to choose two, then I choose
Lacazette. Yes. Yes. Are you Molly Bloom all of a sudden? What's going on here? Come on.
I'll have what she's having.
I think those are the two obvious candidates. I guess if you didn't have Jimenez, but it feels like everyone's got Jimenez now, right? Yeah. I think those are the two. But we're still firmly in the Laka over Abba camp, right?
Yeah, I mean, Aubameyang, even though he scored a goal, I wouldn't classify that as a convincing performance against a 10-man Watford.
Yeah, for sure. Didn't even get a bonus point.
Yeah.
If Aubameyang didn't play a minute this game, like in the Europa League, would you consider him? I mean, he'd be more compelling in that case, right? If he just didn't play a minute in the Europa League?
Yeah. Yes, he would be. I mean, it's just so vexing. Emery has really tripped me up at every turn this season. Yes. And I mean, he's not mentioned enough in the same breath as Pep Tation, but yeah. I think next season we're going to be very scared of that rotation.
Are you surprised that Lacazette didn't come on in that match? I mean, doesn't that seem like the kind of match where Lacazette would really do well? I mean, I feel like he just beats up on teams like that. I don't know.
I guess that's the tactic where they're stretched really thin. They've been playing a man short, Watford has. And then, yeah, you bring in a really active fox-in-the-box
clinical
type striker.
Player. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And the fact that Arsenal were only up by one goal at that point, you know, nothing was assured, and Watford were making the game of it late into the second half. It was strange.
I was certain that he would play. I was certain he would come on. I thought Kolasinac might even come on. You know, it was strange. Next question comes from Danny Bean. He says, thoughts on Jordan Henderson, goal and two assists in his last two games, 5.3 million, captain of the team, going for the title and playing in a more advanced role. What do you think, B?
I think that is an FPL honeypot right there. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled.
Triple up on Liverpool. That's good. Do that. But do it with their best players, not their like cheapy alternative. We call this the Adam Lallana syndrome. You know?
It worked for like two brief weeks where Adam Lallana was the cheap of four possible explosive Liverpool attacking assets. But yep. Over the course of the season, you see that, you know, the best assets are the best assets. Even if you're looking for some sort of marginal placeholder, yeah, you don't want to look to Liverpool where you, as you say, Josh, you want to triple up on the best possible Liverpool players. And I think there are other options at 5.3 that would be more helpful.
I was just looking at Liverpool's team, like the prices for some of their players. And Lallana is, you know, 6.9 million. He's way overpriced. But then I just looked at Curtis Jones out of curiosity. Have you seen the photo for Curtis Jones on the FPL website?
No, I have
not. Can you pull it up real quick there, Brandon? Please do.
Okay, all right. You got to see this.
He looks like Hammerhead from the Dick Tracy movie. He's got this like little pencil thin mustache and this weird like misshapen flat top afro. It's like,
yeah, and it's he's a weird look. He's like leaning forward in the picture as well. Like, hey, come here. I want to tell you something. I played 0 minutes this season. That's what I want to tell you.
All right. Next question. Alex says, what does Lacazette being benched for Aubameyang mean for the double game week? I guess we talked about this a fair amount already.
It means I'm having a goddamn cursed season. That's what it means.
I mean, you're having an excellent season, but weird Arsenal problems all year, right? It's like,
yeah.
Starting when you had Mesut Ozil, right? Didn't you have Mesut Ozil like the first 3 weeks of the season?
Yeah. He was my big differential to open up the season, and you know, by great luck was I able to overcome that decision. But I think what it means, we were talking about this a bit last week, is that Emery's strength is that he's very tactically flexible and he's able to, you know, bend his squad to his will. But what that doesn't help is the FPL manager. So what it means is you're just at Emery's mercy, Alex.
Yeah. I mean, he is like probably like kind of crazily underrated, right? I mean, to have this like kind of funky Arsenal team that like is both too young and too old at the same time. Like, to have them in fourth place overall, like above Chelsea, Manchester United, with a game in hand on Chelsea, and kind of nobody talks about it or like gives anybody credit or like,
and just rolling through a European competition at the same time.
Up 2-0 on Napoli. And it's like, how often do you like hear anybody sitting around talking about a great job he's doing? You know, it's, he's
most people just enjoy talking about his crazy teeth. So
shark teeth. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. Yeah. Congrats to him. I mean, Arsenal sort of quietly won, you know, 10 of their last 10 points from the last 15. And, I mean, they're almost certainly going to earn a Champions League spot, right? I mean, I would favor them over Chelsea, Man United, given their fixtures to end the season.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good for them. I agree.
All right, next question comes from TRPLR. It comes from the Slack. He says, what are your thoughts on Bournemouth's remaining fixtures after Fulham? I'm asking because because Wilson seems like a good Deeney replacement.
Yeah, I think their upcoming fixtures, so Fulham 35, Southampton away 36, then their home Spurs 37, followed by Crystal Palace away, game week 38. Mm-hmm. Decent fixtures. The issue is Bournemouth's form is so wild. I can tell you for a fact, almost for a fact, I'm guessing I won't have a Bournemouth player for the rest of the season. I don't like it.
Well, if I had Deeney, I would absolutely consider Callum Wilson and probably recommend it. But outside of that, I kind of agree. I don't know if that I will either, but I don't hate it. I just, I don't know. Yeah, I feel like there's alternatives. Even, I think like a lot of the Southampton players are good Bournemouth alternatives too. So, let's move on from Bournemouth. We've talked about them enough this season. Two more questions. Brandon Crutch says, we've just wildcarded, but is it too late in the season now for point hits to pay off? They need now to bang pretty much immediately. Well, I mean, going to double game week, I think a point hit can make more sense, right? Especially if you didn't, wildcard.
It was well articulated by me. I can't even well articulate the phrase well articulate. I said as much earlier on, Josh, that going into a big double game week, that is the time to burn points. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's like buying a vowel in Wheel of Fortune. You know, for a small price, you get to advance further in the Wheel of Fortune puzzle. So why not take it as your opportunity? I think the double game week is the time. So if you're planning on burning points, if you're planning on putting other plans into motion for the rest of the season, I think the double game week is also a good time to do it. So, I mean, maybe the only other time I would consider a -4 might be going into game week 38 if you had a few fires to put out and you just wanted to actually have some fun for the last game week.
Or you need to make a big gamble. I mean, I think that it's actually something I want to talk about at the top of the podcast. We started to talk about it a little bit, but I think almost everyone is too conservative in how they play it. You know, I mean, I don't mean necessarily with burning points, but I just mean with like the approach and like the sort of like the range of options that people consider. I think people are a little too narrow sometimes in how they, what is like a viable move to them. You know, I think that like, and this, I think where podcasts and websites, and chat, whatever, can like sort of narrows things down too much, you know? And then you suddenly, I mean, like, I don't know, like, I mean, I put out there that I was thinking about burning four to drop, Felipe Anderson and Higuain to bring in Vardy and Madison, and basically everyone was like, don't do that, you know, or like, I wouldn't do that. And I was like, well, I think it's a good idea, I'm just gonna do it, you know. And
like, this is how every horror film ends, where it's like, don't go in there.
Yeah, I mean, so sometimes it does work, you know, and you have to trust yourself a little bit. And like, if no one's talking about the move, I think that it's, you know, especially this late in the season, I think early on in the season it makes a lot of sense to sort of follow the sort of the main talking points and the suggested logic. But I think once you get down to these last few game weeks, I mean, there's just a massive benefit in just trying to be different, you know, and trying to make a captain that no one else has, you know. I mean, you know, obviously this assumes that you're not like, you know, 8 points away from top of your mini league table or something. But if it's just like a normal situation where you're maybe 35 points back or something, then sure, I think it's, you know, worthwhile.
It's your time. All right, last question, Josh. In the lightning round, let's make it a quick one. Dave C. wants to know, currently two defenders have more points than any forward. is that unusual? So for this season, if you're looking at the overall FPL points total, I'm just pulling it up right now. Mm-hmm. You're looking at Andy Robertson and Virgil van Dijk are way high up in the points tallies. Let's see. 9 points Virgil van Dijk is above Sergio Aguero.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't have the historical data, John.
I don't know either. I mean, I think normally in most seasons you have one forward or midfielder who is kind of like the story of the season. You know, like last year it was Mo Salah. Like the season, maybe the two seasons before that, it was Harry Kane. Before
like Alexis you had Sanchez.
Yeah, Alexis Sanchez. That's right. And you know, you had the famous SAS with Sterling, Aguero, Suarez a couple of years before. Robin van Persie in the first years that you and I were playing was mm-hmm. really dominant in Arsenal and then Man United. So the story is not usually about defenders, but
is about defenders, it's a Leighton Baines-esque story or a Marcus Alonso story where they're goal scoring defenders or free kick penalty taking defenders. So that's what makes Robertson and TAA in particular, is they're just mercilessly putting the assists into the box. And Virgil van Dijk probably going to be player of the season in the league.
Robertson, I mean, Robertson has 18 clean sheets in 34 matches along with 10 assists. Mm-hmm. I mean, 10 assists and 18 clean sheets, that is an insane total. 27 bonus points in the season, too. So I think the story is really just that Liverpool's defense is really, really good and not so much that that we're thinking about the game in the wrong way or something. So
Right.
All right, Brendan, that's the pod. We got Game Week 35 coming up. I feel like we talked about it a lot already. Any final points on this game week that you want to discuss?
If you thought game week 34 was mentally challenging, just brace yourself because game week 35 is going to melt all of our faces off.
Totally.
The
season's like a family reunion that's gone in like 2 days too long, right? It's like everyone's just like their nerves are frayed. Like we all need like a break from each other.
We really do. I mean, there are going to be some interesting matches. I mean, the third face-off between City Spurs, that Everton-Manchester United match should be pretty interesting on Sunday. And then you've got the Manchester Derby to finish out an epic game week. So they're going to be highs and lows. Just prepare yourself.
I'm sort of narrowed in on one particular match that I think is kind of the story of game week 35. And that's Chelsea-Burnley on Monday. And I think that is really the pivot point on which the whole season spins. I'm sure you agree.
Absolutely. So many friends, much like the first episode of Game of Thrones on Sunday, so many characters are going to be reunited in this match. You know, Chris Wood and Willian, they haven't seen each other since, early on in the season when Burnley and Chelsea played each
other. Oscar is actually going to come back from China for this match. So that's very exciting too.
That's so cool.
Yeah. All right, Brendan, I think we've gone on long enough. Let's sign off here. If you would like to support the podcast, I mentioned before, Brendan will be doing the Kitchen Table podcast this game week, although you can also listen back to any of our previous podcasts and interviews. We've got all kinds of stuff with lots of different people stretching back years now. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to do that, just become a Patreon supporter. Go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. I want to thank our producers, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Carl Rasmus, Laney Cranley, Chris Howell, Rafa Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne. Sorry about your Tigers, Jim Payne. Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, the Big Gaffer, Danny Evans, Babas Kuhn, Hoosby, I Hardly Knew Ye, Ben Grant, James Holland, Matt Ritter, Oyvind Anderson, and Kajitan. Thank you to all of you.
And don't forget, subscribe to the Always Cheating Pod if you haven't already on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, wherever fine podcasts are available. And if you don't feel like becoming a Patreon supporter, another great way to support the pod is just give us a 5-star review on whatever platform that you use. Also, give us a follow on social media. @HailCheaters is where we are on Twitter. Instagram, @HailCheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And for all this information and more, you can visit our website, alwayscheating.com. And as we said at the top of the pod, we are finalists at the Football Blogging Awards for Best Fantasy Football Content Creator. Check our pinned tweet, @HailCheaters, or check the show notes here on how you can vote for us and help us become worldwide podcasting celebrities.
That's right. If we win this thing, we will never bother you again about it, I promise. So that's a reason to vote for us right there. All right. So thank you to everybody. For Brandon Kelly, I've been Josh Landon. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Poku.
Always, always in our hearts. And Bikani, too.